following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great start to the new year. The kids are finally back in school. Man, was that a long holiday break. You know, when Christmas and New Year's fall on Wednesday, it kind of extends everything out. Hope you guys enjoyed your time with the kids, but I'm sure you're also excited that they are back at school. The college kids start heading back, I think, either this week, next week. I know Jerry goes back. My son Jerry goes back to University of Miami on the 10th of January. And Alana is going back to URI, I think, around the 16th or 17th of January. Something like that. But great having them home. Always interesting when the whole gang is back together. As many of you know, I have five children, ranging from 16 to 23. Each of them is so different, and isn't it amazing when you have kids? You have your first kid, and you go, oh, my God, I love this kid. It's just amazing. And then you hear that you're going to have a second child, and you go, how is it possible that I'll be able to love a second child like I love this child? And not only do you do it, they're totally different, and you just deal with their situations so differently. And what's interesting as a parent, I find, is that it's so difficult to try to explain how you have to deal with the emotions and the personalities of each child differently, and trying to explain that to your kids, to say, well, because the kids are, well, you do this for this one, you don't do this for that one. You got to handle these things differently because each kid's emotions are different. And it's a challenge. Anyways, here we are in the studio providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And starting January 1st of this year, there was a new law that was passed. It's rare. It's rare. And there's not much celebration. You really don't even see much of this on the news, that the Senate, the House of Representatives, Congress got together and agreed on something. Not only did they both agree on something, the president agreed on it too. And it just got fast-tracked and happened and came into effect. It is called the Secure Act. The Secure Act stands for, it's an acronym called Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement. I think it's a joke of an acronym. It does not really reflect the impact of what this law is really all about. When you think about the secure part, what they're really talking about is the fact that starting in a couple of years, businesses, small businesses, people that have under 100 employees will be able to partner up with other businesses of similar interests. Let's say the restaurant industry, the textile industry, the shoe industry, the, the gasoline industry, whatever, small business owners. You'll be able to get together and work to develop a 401k plan that benefits everybody, that everyone can participate in, where everybody can share in the cost, so that it isn't so expensive for you as a small business owner to offer up retirement plans. As you well know, I mean, if you're an employer that has, say, 6 employees or 12 employees or 25 employees, you know how expensive it is for you to start up a 401k plan or any type of retirement plan for your employees. And if you want to do it, sometimes the easiest way is to make the employees share in the cost. And most employees, they want to see a retirement plan as a benefit to them, not as an expense to them as an employee in the retirement plan. So by combining these plans, by having the ability to do this through this new Secure Act, businesses are going to be able to offer to more employees the opportunity to participate at a much lower cost. And on top of that, if you're a part-time employee, a lot of times part-time employees, those that work less than 500 hours a year, I think it's less than 500 or 1,000, I'm missing the number here. But if you're a part-time employee, you are going to be eligible to participate in 401k plans as well. Now, you may not be eligible for the employer match that's out there, depending upon your certain the certain number of hours that you work, but you will be eligible to participate. And the opportunity to put money away on a pre-tax basis is an instant savings to your bottom line. Or even if you don't want to take advantage of the pre-tax option and use after-tax money to put money into a Roth IRA and let that money grow tax-free, that's a great option too. The point is the Secure Act is going to allow more and more and more citizens to be able to begin taking responsibility for their own retirement, putting money aside, and not being shut out of those provisions. I think that's a big deal, but honestly, it's not going to impact your life today because, frankly, they haven't figured out how they're going to do it. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know, they announced this big provision, but we really haven't figured out how we're going to do it yet. So here's what it's going to be. It sounds really good. Sounds really good, but it might not be a couple of years before this happens. So, well, that's all good, and it's provides securing the long-term future of employees. There's other provisions within the Secure plan as well. Now, another one that's kind of interesting is that 401k plans are now going to have an annuity option in the 401k. Now, what does that really mean? You know, most people have talked about, oh, I heard annuities are bad or annuities are good. Forget about that. Annuities do what they're supposed to do, and annuities can do for you is provide you with a guaranteed income stream. So imagine if you now have your 401k plan, and when you open up your statement, it not only tells you how much money you have in your plan, but it says, if you continue to do this, and upon retirement, you convert your 401k to an annuity, we're going to show you how much guaranteed income we estimate you could receive for the rest of your life. That gives an individual a sense of hope, a sense of understanding, rather than saying, geez, I wonder what this could all be worth. Now, what's all that going to look like? How's it going to work? How's it going to be implemented? Well, they haven't figured that out yet either. But it still sounds great from the headlines, right? So what I want to talk to you about today is the stuff from the Secure Act that's going to impact you today. And one of those things is the fact that if you were turning 70 and a half this year in 2020, perhaps you were turning 70 and a half in 2021. Guess what? You don't have to take a required minimum distribution anymore because the age effective January 1st just got pushed to age 72. How they ever came up with 70 and a half is beyond me. I don't know why they use this half age thing, but they did, and it's been stuck like that for a long time. The reality is people are working a lot longer. People don't want to start taking their retirement funds if they're actually making money working. So the government decided to push it out. Actually, there was a provision in this plan that pushed it out to age 75. But people said, no, if we go to 75, now we're really benefiting the rich. Because the rich are saying, we don't want to start taking our money out because we don't want to have to pay taxes on it. Why can't we just use our other resources or whatever? I don't know, I'm going to have to take money that you're forcing me to take. Well, the reality was is that the government looked at the numbers and they said, we've lowered tax rates. Our deficit is growing. We need to collect tax money, and we need to collect it quickly. And so moving from 70 and a half to 72 isn't really solving that problem, but the next one that I'm going to tell you about is. So here's the deal. When you die with an IRA, in the past, maybe you've named your spouse as beneficiary. And when your spouse receives the money, the spouse has the right to take money out over their lifetime. Perhaps they take it out over, and if you were over 70 and a half, you had to start taking a minimum distribution, but they get to take it out over their lifetime. They don't cash it in, but they can stretch it out and spread it out. It was called the stretch IRA provision. And let's say you were single or your spouse had already passed away. You had the retirement account. You wanted to pass it on to your three children. And let's say you had $500,000 in your retirement account and you had three children. actually, let's say two children because the math's easier. You had two children, and each one of them gets $250,000 in what's called a beneficiary IRA. They don't pay tax on it, but they have to take out what's called a minimum amount of money from the IRA, a minimum distribution, so that this thing could stretch forever. That minimum amount was generally based upon their life expectancy. And if they were 50 or 60 years old when they inherited this money, their life expectancy is a good long time, and they're likely not to have to ever cash in this money. Well, folks, the rules have changed. The government wants their tax money. So unless you are considered a qualified eligible beneficiary, you are going to have to take the money that was left to you by your parents or by whomever that's in a retirement account. You're going to have to cash it out within 10 years. That's a big deal. Many people have stretched out their IRAs for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Some grandparents name their grandchild as beneficiary, so the grandkid could have this money, income from it, money that sits there tax deferred for 60, 70, 80 years. And then the grandkid, when they reach a particular age, they could then pass it on to another person and stretch it out even further. And it could go on and on and on. Provision has been removed completely unless you were considered a qualified eligible beneficiary. So who is a qualified eligible beneficiary? Well, it's a spouse. It is, a spouse means that, you know, of course you understand what a spouse is. Somebody married to. I'd like to hope you understand it. Where's my other, my notes here? I want to read it to you exactly what this says here. So let's talk about who the people are who are exempt from this provision. They are what are called qualified eligible beneficiaries. These folks can continue to stretch out the retirement plan that they're about to receive for their lifetime. Kind of. So, the qualified eligible beneficiaries are a surviving spouse, minor children up to the age of majority, individuals within 10 years of the age of the deceased, or the chronically ill and disabled. So let's kind of walk through this. So what happens, let's say you're 60 years old and you have died and you've left your money to your spouse, your IRA money to your spouse. Let's say it's $100,000. Doesn't matter. Now remember, when you leave your IRA to the spouse allows that money to continue to grow tax deferred, but they have to take out at some point a minimum distribution when they reach that required minimum distribution age. And they can continue to do that, stretch it out for their lifetime. However, let's say you die and the person you leave it to is your son, who's 40 years old, and your son inherits that $100,000. Now, the son certainly doesn't want to cash it in. At least I hope he wouldn't want to cash it in all at once, because that would be $100,000 added to their income. But the son has to take out a minimum distribution. What that amount would be that represents their life expectancy number. It might be 1 or 2% of the value. A very, very small amount. And the rest could continue to grow into decades, into their grandparenthood, into their 80s, into their 90s. But the rule just changed. If your 40-year-old son inherits that $100,000 IRA, they must cash out the entire $100,000 within 10 years. So they could take it out in 10 equal installments if they wanted. They could say, I don't want the money for 10 years and cash out the whole thing at the end. Think about this, though. That's a lot of taxes to have to pay and a lot of added income to that person's income already. Generally, when you're in your 40s and your 50s, those are probably some of your peak earning years. And so why would you want more income added to your income already? More taxes to have to pay? Well, there's some planning that's necessary. And so many folks who have named their children as beneficiaries, people that have named many family members beyond their spouse as beneficiaries, may have created a tax problem unexpected for those people, even though they were being generous and leaving money. Don't get me wrong, they were leaving the money, but perhaps they hadn't thought about the tax burden they were creating for those. However, some other people that are exempt from this rule. Let's say you're an individual within 10 years of age. Maybe you've died and you've left the money to your brother. Let's say you were 60 years old and you left the money to your brother. Well, that's okay. That can continue to stretch. Let's say you've named it, you've named somebody who is chronically ill. That's okay. You can stretch that. It would have to be one of these boxes, right? But here's the interesting one. I told you earlier, grandparents have said, I want to name my grandchild. So let's say you're 80 years old and you have a grandchild who is 13 years old. And you say, I want to leave my IRA or a part of my IRA to my grandchild. Well, when your grandchild receives it at age 13 years old, they only have to take out what's called the minimum distribution because they're a qualified eligible beneficiary. And that minimum distribution is probably pretty small because at age 13, they got a lot of years to live. So that's a very small amount. Maybe it's 1%, 1.5%. However, when they reach the age of majority, age 21, they now will have 10 years to cash out the rest of it. So it's very tricky. One of the challenges that people are seeing, though, and this is the tough one, is that many people have been instructed to name a trust as a beneficiary in their IRA. And that is when some really sticky issues can happen. And some of the challenges that you were expecting, that you weren't expecting, will begin to arise. Many of the IRAs that are left in trust to individuals are called what are called conduit trusts, where it says, I'm going to leave the IRA to this individual, and they are allowed to take out the minimum distribution, because you want to try to manage the amount of money that that beneficiary would take every year. You want to leave them this money, but you don't want them to blow it. You just want them to take the required minimum distribution that they would have to take. Well, under that rule, under the new rule, there is no such thing as a required minimum distribution for a beneficiary anymore. They just have to take it all out in 10 years. So since there is no required minimum distribution, you may not be able to get out any money as the beneficiary of this IRA for 10 years, and then it could all get dumped onto you in 1 year, in year 10. There's got to be ways to fix that. There's got to be a way, but this is the way it is right now. So if you have thought about naming a trust as your beneficiary for your IRA, if you have named other people as beneficiaries for your IRA that are not your spouse or one of these qualified eligible beneficiaries, it's time to talk. We need to sit down and make sure that you are absolutely certain and clear as to what you need to do to address the changes in the Secure Act, because it's here today, folks. It was implemented on January 1st, and if you die soon, well, you could be, your beneficiaries could be surprised with the impact of the tax liability that's going to them. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about this more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.